Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing pretty good. My wife, kind of being the romantic sort, sent me a text. I'll just read it there from my phone here. If you are sleeping, send me your dreams. If you're laughing, send me your smile. If you're eating, send me a bite. If you're drinking, send me a sip. If you are crying, send me your tears. I love you. And then, of course, I replied, I am on the toilet. Please advise.
You're supposed to save those for the end.
Oh, trust me, I got all sorts of things for the end. But we are a full hours late from our normal recording time. Not that it matters to these fine people out in Podland, because they can download and listen to us anytime they want, any episode they want for the past 11 years. But in real time, we're a couple hours late. I need you to explain yourself, young man.
Well, the quarantine is mostly over, right?
You'd like to think that, but yeah, go for it.
So it's time for me to get my dental work on.
Ah, and a little oral satisfaction. Week, you must have been inspired by all this Batman talk.
No, I was inspired by the fact that the dentist contacted me and said, it's been 16 months. You should probably come in and get your checkup. And I put it off as long as I could. I put it off for a month and a half after they told me, but nope, tonight was the night, and this week's a little nuts. I had the dental thing tonight. Tomorrow I work. Wednesday is, of course, AEW Dynamite returning to Wednesday nights for their last show at the Daly's place where they've been for the last, 15 months, 16 months? So they're having a big farewell before they go back on tour. That's right, AEW and WWE are going back on tour. Tuesday I work, Wednesday I work. Thursday I work, Friday I work, Saturday you work.
Pretty much.
So we can't record Saturday.
Nope.
But other than a overnight shift on Saturday night, I have the whole weekend off. Hey now, ooh. I have a holiday weekend off.
It is July 4th, so... See, we're having kind of a go-away party for Dana on July 4th.
Because it's kind of like the only
time we know everybody's around.
Not a go-away party where we'll miss you, but a go-away party of leave.
No. Going away. Oh. This isn't for you. This is for Dana. People like Dana. They don't like you.
Well, that's why I don't say hello to anybody. If I don't say hello to you, you don't have to say goodbye to me.
How rude. So, anyway, so, and then, of course, the way that the feds code holiday pay for normal people, Monday through Friday, you get it, I believe, the Friday before.
No, we're getting the Monday after, because.
Well, I don't know about how you're doing it, because you're in the private sector. I'm talking the federal holiday.
Ah.
And I don't know, maybe the feds might do it on Monday. I know that with the Juneteenth that was last couple of weeks, there was a lot of confusion. Because generally, the way I coded it, when I used to have to code it myself, is if holiday pay is on a day off, I move it backwards to the last day I worked. Consequently, if I take that day off, I get day off in lieu of holiday. On account as I am greedy, I just would rather get the holiday pay. So that means I will be there the entire 10 hours. And lately, there have been a lot of flights going out. We have Southwest in Terminal 2, so we have a lot of late Southwest flights. So it might be something like, okay, we're done by 8 o'clock. Oh, well, Southwest is delayed till 9:30. Well, now they're delayed till 10:30, which I laugh at because this whole fitness for duty thing I'm on because of my hands, I am not allowed to work overtime, which sucks and it doesn't suck. I mean, it's nice to be able to laugh and go, ha, gotta go, it's 10 o'clock. But I'd also like to gain a little overtime because there's a lot of things out there I want to buy. There's a lot of days off I'd like to play, such as Free Comic Book Day. And should I mention it now? The MCBA's One Crazy Summer Con, Saturday, July 31st, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Mermaid Entertainment and Events Center, 2200 Mounds View Boulevard in Mounds View. You can go over to MidwestComicBookFans.com apparently and get more information. Although there's one thing there that may or may not be there. And this is hot off the press. I wasn't told not to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Well, I know you weren't told not to.
I wasn't told not to either. So I know when Falcon's going to be.
Really?
I do. It's set in stone. If I could get a drum roll, please, Corey. Terrible drum roll.
That's one of the best drum rolls in history.
Worst drum roll ever.
You'll
September 25th, Saturday. That's when FallCon will be. It's going to be a one day at the grandstand. And again, I don't know if that's secretive. I don't know if word's out, but my guess is by the time the July 31st One Crazy Summer Con comes along, they'll have flyers already for that. So very cool. I don't know of other cons or anything.
By the way, to answer your question, no, you should not tell people about the convention now. We'll do it later.
Oh, no. We had to spread the news now because by the time
you asked if you should do it now or later, then you didn't wait for my answer. My answer was yes.
I'm never going to listen. You got fresh minty breath. That's the only positive thing I have about you. However, that said, now that we know when it is, I will start pimping for the charity booth. So if you're one of those people out there that has tons of stuff and you don't know what to do with it and you want to take a tax write-off on it, because, you know, you can go to a comic store half price and not get anything, or you could, you know, do like me and spend the entire day in the basement putting stuff on eBay's, or like I said, just donate it to the charity booth. Just drop us a line, and Corey will tell you how to do that later. And, I don't know who the charity is this year. So we'll keep that to ourselves, and we'll keep going forward. So did you do anything interesting this weekend?
Why, yes, I got everything set up. We have been talking about it for a month now. So it's time for reviews. I've got the books that I've read. I've got some reviews. I have my notes. I have everything set. So, Joe, what is the first book you are reviewing?
I got nothing.
Excuse me?
I got nothing. I have not been able to read anything.
Nothing?
Not a thing.
And not a comic? Oh.
Not a
novel?
Nope.
Not a magazine in the toilet?
Nope.
Not a grocery receipt?
Nope. I didn't even read a cereal box.
It's just like when you said you were going to read the Spider-Man comics 11 years ago and never did.
Yeah, you know, folks, to be... I did read them. I just didn't want to talk about them because they sucked. No, actually, this is actually it's a two-parter. First of all, I'll go back to what I was talking about at work. Normally, the time I would have to read comics, we're now sitting around because flights have been going late, mostly because Southwest, for some reason, really likes late flights. apparently they're trying to outdo Spirit in terms of amount of late flights. What does that mean? Okay, last year when COVID hit, what TSA did is when your day was over, if you had no flights going on, and believe me, there weren't a lot of flights going on, you went home. They decided we didn't want you sitting around, possibly catching COVID. As flights started to come back, they took away that, they call it weather and safety leave. However, if there are no flights, we still have to work the shift. So on a few days of the week, there were, like, we'd be done by 6, we'd be done by 8. That's when I could sit and I could read stuff. Now, because they're scheduling flights, and again, flights are sometimes been really late, there's no reading time because I just can't sit and read a graphic novel. Ironically, I can sit and look on my phone and stuff, but I can't do other things like that. So, my reading time is gone there. At home, I mentioned last couple weeks that everything's all torn up. The bedroom stinks of some type of shellacking mud, vaguely of pickle, but it burns the eyes. My eBay office is full of stuff. All my graphic novels are in the garage. If I try to read in the living room, oh, someone wants to watch TV. If I try to read in the kitchen, oh, well, somebody wants to cook some Spam. Not for me, mind you, but they just want to do it. I don't have anywhere to read.
Wait, they're cooking Spam?
Well, either that or just slucking a draw of a can, which a lot of people don't realize you can do.
But I actually saw a recipe literally for Spam on one of the cooking shows this weekend.
Literally nowhere I can go to read. I have nowhere to read.
Not even the sun porch?
Not when it's 90 degrees out with humidity. Today wasn't bad. It was 80 degrees out, but it's like 66 degree humidity, which is like trying to read in the tropics. So no reading for Joel.
Well, then I've got a couple things we could talk about. The first one is a weird piece of news that came to me from Larry Hama.
Oh.
Did you know back in 1977-78, he and other people in the Marvel bullpen were working on a new black and white magazine. Crazy would have been canceled and replaced with Saturday Night Live, the magazine.
Oh, wow.
He said that after they did the team up, it did well enough for Marvel that Marvel was interested, and things were smooth enough that Saturday Night Live was interested. But the problem was that they then looked at the comedy magazine that Marvel was putting out, Crazy, and said, yeah, this isn't what we're interested in. And while Marvel tried to convince that they would up their game and try to bring in some people from National Lampoon, which was in the same offices as Marvel, not the same office, the same building as Marvel at the time, eventually Saturday Night Live passed on the idea.
I could see that happening. For what I understand, the way Saturday Night Live operated, they were more of a competition to try to get your sketches on. And what was worse is if you happened to be a actor and you didn't have somebody advocating for you, you just kind of stayed on the sidelines.
That's how it became. After the original cast. With the original cast, because they only had 7 people, there were times they would actually sit down and go, we don't have anything for Garrett this week. Fit Garrett into something.
Oh, so they were more...
We don't have anything for Lorraine Newman this week. Fit her into something.
So they were more inclusive.
Yes. And it's because they had fewer people. And with as Saturday Night Live went on, I don't know. When's the last time you watched Saturday Night Live, Joe?
I don't know. When's the last time I read a comic book?
Boy, when they go through the cast, that is a long list of people employed on that show.
I tend to, if I hear about a sketch, go look for it. But, I mean, as far as watching the entire show, I don't do that. Mainly because by the time I get home, it started. Remember, I get off at like 10 o'clock at night, and by the time I get home, it's, you know, the it started, and I'm tired. I don't want to work. I just want to bang on my drums all day.
And usually the best sketches are the first batch. By the time you get to, even back in the original Saturday Night Live, the sketches before Weekend Update were the best, and the ones after were the ones where you went, well, that needed some work. But, oh, I know I watched a couple episodes because I watched the Billie Eilish episode because that was their first one back from quarantine. And, you know, it was okay up until the Weekend Update. Weekend Update was fine. Then afterward, it was like, oof.
Yeah.
We waited a year for this?
Was it a live audience?
Yeah. You know, scattered. You know, they had to be socially distant and everything.
Yeah, they're slowly coming back. I did see where Colbert had a live audience.
Colbert's back, and the show is much better with the audience.
He really beats
off that audience.
Well, that's very common, especially for live talk shows. I did catch it where his wife come out and goes, okay, he's yours now.
Yes.
But even the local guy that I liked, Jason Matheson, he's been talking about that. They're going to do a live show outdoor at Parade Stadium on July 14th, a Wednesday, so I can't go. But they're actually going for that. He's been very vocal about it. He's very excited about being in front of a live audience. He says it feeds off it. There were always bits that was fun in his live show, especially because it's live television, where like if somebody's phone goes off, he like will stop and go over to that person and get the phone and answer it live on the show. He likes the live crowds. Even just getting, you know, for a long time, it was the big thing. Everybody would kind of do like we're doing, you know, we're in our own little podcast room. And so it would be like they had four or five different people running the show and everybody would be remote doing it with their headphones through their cam. Eventually, when they got back in the studio, that just livened things up because then they had face to face. But yeah, they're just chomping at the bit. I think anybody who lived off a live audience just really wants a live audience because you feed off it. And, you know, that's just a local example. You said Colbert was living off it, huh? It fed off him?
Oh, yeah. Now, are you ready for my second weird little bit of comic news that you did not know?
Well, I got one for you. I wanted to see if you, does the Strode know? Do you have your thinking grenades ready?
I do. Okay. Is this for a shiny new dime?
Yeah, well, I got some really dull dimes because all the shiny ones are upstairs buried under everything. Why are there two versions of Carlton's Black Fury number 14 from 1962? And why does only one of them show up in the price guides?
Was one of them printed in Canada?
So
I know Carlton had stuff that was printed in Canada. Except usually the Canadian stuff was under the Modern Comics label.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that was later. This was, near as I can tell, and what would give it away is this is Black Fury number 14, Schiff's Shoes presents Black Fury number 14. And I couldn't find my Overstreet price guide. You don't have one nearby, do you?
Not nearby, no.
Okay, because I was trying to look this sucker up and figure out what the deal was. Near as I can tell, Schiff's Shoes basically took the comic, slapped their own cover around it, and sold it in the stores or gave it away as a promo.
Because there were comics that were given away in shoe stores.
Yeah, and this is what I'm thinking is one of them, because I picked this sucker up for a buck when we were out cruising around, you Butch and I, and I looked at it, and it's like, it's got the, you know how Carlton has the square-bound boxes, and everything's real stiff, and I'm like, yeah, this doesn't quite work for me. Because, you know, first thing I do is you look up Black Fury. And Black Fury was a magazine from Carlton, started in 55, ended in 66. Let's see how many issues they go. They went up to 57. The series continued and ended. They renamed it Wild West, number 58. One issue of that, and it disappeared. But essentially, Black Fury was an untamed Mustang, as free as the wind and dark as the night. Scornful of those who would try to break him, Fury comes to the rescue of those in need, and even taken on a grizzly bear in order to help save a helpless wayfarer. He may be just a horse, but he possesses a nobility and wisdom greater than that of many humans. And as I read it, I just wasn't sick. I wasn't getting it. But I looked at the issue number 14, nowhere anything like what I've got here. And I think what gave it away, like I said, other than the shift shoes, is when I did the eBays, you look across the bottom and you hear there's Wyatt Earp, Little Genius, Timmy the Timid Ghost, Freddy, Atomic Mouse. And then you put in shift shoes giveaway, and now there's Little Genius with across the bottom. So it's Little Genius number 14. Across the bottom, Black Fury, Wyatt Earp, Timmy the Ghost, Freddy, Atomic Mouse. You go find another one, same thing. So my guess is they just took the old comics, ripped the cover off, put a new cover on it, depending on who's in it, and voila, you got your shift shoes giveaways, which are almost rarer than the original ones.
Because, oh, yeah.
Yeah, who the heck kept them?
So, Joe, what was the comic that was given away in shoe stores, and particularly, because you used to work at Sears,
oh, yeah,
the shoe department at Sears?
March O Comics.
That's right.
Yep. I remember when they were remodeling the comic store, or I should say the shoe store, and as they moved some stuff, there was a whole pile of these comics that had just been left behind. I don't recall if I took them or if I had to wait and they disappeared and someone threw them out. But yeah, if I buy March of Comics, I always look to see if they have this Sears shoe store stamp on the back. Ironically, at the time they did this, and I worked Sears from, I think, 79, well, about 10 years. So I left in 92. So that means I must have started in 82 in the catalog. And of course, Corey knows why I left in 92.
Some comic shop job.
That, I don't know.
Yeah, some temporary job at a comic shop.
Who knows? It doesn't even make a good podcast anymore. And the weird thing was, is I think the ones I had were just the smaller ones, not the full comic size, but just the small pamphlet size. So even now, when you go to eBay and you type in March of Comics, you can find it. Well, let's just do it. I happen to, since I've been on eBay all day, March of Comics. And if you have your Overstreet price guide, they actually have. They have over like 5,500 of them. Here's Tom and Jerry from Sears. Let's see. Here's some smaller ones. A Daffy Duck, a Yogi Bear from 66. 67, there's a Yogi Bear. Here's Henry. I'm trying to think. What's his name? Carl Anderson. The one he did Henry. So they just have tons of these things. And Buster Brown, there's Child Life Shoes, May Company, California. They did it for everybody. So not only are you buying the comic, but then you also can buy the stamp on the bottom. And I mean, it was printed on the cover. It wasn't like they stamped it. Because occasionally you'll find like a March of Comics that has nothing on the bottom of it. And they range in price. Matter of fact, I'm just looking at the low end. Let me do a quick flip here and see what's on the high end. A Donald Duck from, they got a graded 8.5 for $2,200. Vault, no, that can't be right. That's I was going to say Vault of Horror. I'm pretty sure they didn't go into March of Comics.
No, it was all Dell and Gold Key.
Yeah. Here's Tom and Jerry. There's Lone Ranger. Mickey Mouse. So, yeah, It's quite a collectible to try to pick up. And, you know, you almost got to decide, are you just want to buy the comics themselves? Or like for me, if I buy one and I haven't lately, I just tend to go for the ones that say Sears because I work there.
It lasted 488 issues.
Wow.
From 1946 to 1982. Comic writer Mark Evanier says that some issues reportedly were issued in quantities of 5 million and up. Many of them were just reprints of stuff from Dell or Gold Key and then given away. There was also a Buster Brown comic that was given away in Buster Brown shoe stores, and I doubt anybody remembers Buster Brown at all.
He lives in a shoe. There's his dog, whatever. He lives in there, too. Weird things that come bursting out of my brain.
We did not have a Buster Brown anywhere near us. We did have a Red Wing shoe store, which I had no idea had something to do with Minnesota till I moved here and learned that there was a Red Wing, Minnesota, where the shoes were made.
Half the fun of having shoes is Red Wing. Oh, no. Half the fun of having feet is Red Wing shoes. I watched a lot of TV as a kid.
So let's go to the other trivia question or piece of information that I got this here week.
Ooh.
Joe, you've heard of the Hindenburg disaster, correct?
That doesn't ring a bell.
Someone connected with comics had tickets to go on the Hindenburg. Was late and instead decided to, he had missed his pickup, so he had decided to take a train to the next place that the Hindenburg would be picking up passengers, but they never made it to that second place where the Hindenburg picked up passengers because the Hindenburg caught on fire and collapsed. And that man is Martin Goodman.
Wow.
1937, had tickets to go on the Hindenburg, actually kept them in his office during the 40s. Which means if he would have been on that, we wouldn't have had Timely Atlas or Marvel. We wouldn't have had Stan Lee get into the comic book business. Now, here's the thing I've been thinking about, because Human Torch and Submariner were actually characters that their respective creators made for a different comic. Joe, what was the first appearance of both Submariner and Human Torch?
Well, wasn't it, what was the first comic? Marvel Comics number one?
Nope, it was before that, and they discovered this in the 70s.
Was it some type of ash can they had to do to secure rights?
No. Motion Pictures Funnies Weekly.
Huh.
There was a big thing about it in Overstreet in the 70s, because when I picked up my first Overstreet, it was the EC one. They had this big article. They had discovered Motion Pictures Funny Weekly, and they had mocked up a first issue and had covers for issues 2 through 5 and tried to get movie theaters to sign on to it. Basically, comics are hot. This will be a serial. You can either sell it or give it away. And because it's continued, people will come back week after week to pick it up. They didn't get enough theaters to make it profitable, so they didn't do it. And when Martin Goodman advertised that he wanted superheroes for a new comic he was doing, the people who'd packaged together that packaged those two stories together and brought them on over to Martin Goodman. And Captain America, I've been wondering, I thought that Submariner and Human Torch would probably have been sent to one of the other publishers at the time. Because the way comics were done in the late 30s into the 40s were that studios would put together, you know, books. And then publishers would contact the studios, like they'd contact Will Eisner's studio or Lou Fine's studio or, you know, other people and say, hey, we got the money for a comic. What do you got? We need 68 pages. So I'm thinking Human Torch and Submariner would have landed at somewhere like Quality B or something like that. But I was thinking about Leon Kirby's Captain, not Leon Kirby, Simon and Kirby's Captain America. Because they actually did that while they were at Timely. Mark Goodman had hired Joe Simon as the editor-in-chief. Their first book had failed, which was Red Raven. And they looked, and of course he looked and said, hey, these patriotic heroes are going to be hot. Why don't you guys do one? Do you think, because Joe Simon would have been an editor at some other company. He was in demand, which is one of the reasons why they left Timely after 10 issues of Captain America. They were so in demand, they were doing work under the table for DC. Do you think we would have had a Captain America?
I don't know enough about how they came up with Captain America. You know,
it was basically like, one of those things. The Shield is selling really well. Uncle Sam's selling really well. We should do a patriotic comic.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like when you hear about Bob Kane's idea of Batman. You know, very different than when Bill Finger? Is that the first name?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he came in and he kind of, no, we're going to go kind of do it this way. And of course,
Jerry Robinson helped as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it might have been a Captain America, but it might be very different than what we know now. Well, how do you say his name? Hey, Yuto, what, you watch your guy? You've been watching me all day. Why don't you, shit, he won't come down. He'd be a great guest if he'd ever open his mouth.
Well, you could get Nick Fury.
Nah, he only comes down if, you give him a cigar.
What do they call him now?
I don't even know. Let's see. Nick Fury.
Yeah, but the weird thing is, they had that Marvel Comics 1000 to introduce this new character, and I don't think he has shown up since Marvel Comics 1000.
The Unseen.
Okay, that's what he's called. He's the Unseen now.
I thought he was popping around in some book. You know, just kind of shuffling about. But the weird thing was, is he wasn't tethered. I thought he was tethered to the moon, and he was like shuffling about. I just, one of those books, as I must have been looking at it on the shelves. Go, oh, there he is. Put it back, because just didn't do it.
I just thought it was odd because it felt like they were, this is our setup to a big story, and then nothing.
Yeah.
Let's see, The Eternity Mask. It's about the Eternity Mask. Let's see if that's actually been used anywhere since. It's Al Ewing, who's also doing a lot of the Marvel Cosmic stuff right now. You know what other character I'm surprised they have not brought back? Because they've kind of used a version of this character before, The Witness.
Hmm. I think I'll type that one in while you're. Of course, I'm still waiting for Aquarius to come back.
Yeah, there's a new version of it. Let's see.
He is a temporal anomaly. He exists at the confluences of all the timelines. Simply means he's able to exist at all points at once. That's out of MarvelFandom.com. Then again, we haven't seen the Beyonder come back either, and he. We're not quite sure where he disappeared to since Secret Wars. I mean, the Hickman one, not the one in the 80s that gets so maligned.
See, The Eternity Mask, where is it now? Hamilton started calling himself Blind Justice, guided by his wishes of revenge toward the Enclave until his ultimate demise. The current bearer of the mask has not yet been identified.
Dun, dun. There, Marvel, look at that. We just gave you your next crossover event.
Well, I know that
nope.
They were planning a crossover event about a year and a half ago that got put on the back burner and is now coming out, called The Dark Age, something like that, where it's going to be in the next previews. And it's one of the books, there were like this list of 20 books that were delayed because of the pandemic, and it was one of them. And really, there's only one that I'm looking for, and that is that Gwen Stacy miniseries where we got the first issue and then nothing. Mm. And that was delayed because of the pandemic, because it's like, oh, crap, we're not publishing anything for a month.
Was I'm still trying to find books I'm missing from that time. It was kind of weird. It's neat that all the comic stores in town survived it, though.
Yeah.
As far as I know, nobody's gone out of business. There's a few, like Nostalgia Zone. They're still running from their store or online. And,
well, they were mostly an online store by the pandemic start anyway, because they specialize in the really old stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, old back issues and things. I know Heroes, Heroic Comics and Games, or Games and Comics. I forget what it is. It's been so long, Paul, I don't even remember what it's called. But he's opening as of July 1st. So that'll be, well, by the time you listen to this, it's July 5th. So you're late. You've already missed the good stuff. Ah, that's okay. He'll put out some more. So head on over.
So one other thing that I wanted to bring up.
Are you talking about Usagi Yojimbo number 20, how it seems to be going crazy online because it's the first appearance of Yukichi Yamamoto?
Had not heard that, but I do know that it was recently optioned for a Netflix animated series.
Travis, a.k.a. Bloyin36, that's a Zebe handle, B-L-O-U-I-N, sent me a note about that. Because he was curious as to what to do with that because he had a hot book. And, you know, again, first appearance of someone, maybe related to someone. Number 19 is a hot book. I haven't figured out why. But he may be posting it up on his website. So if you're looking to pick up on something like that, head over to his place. He's got some oddball mini comics and zines up right now. But, you know, hey. See, look at that, squeezing the eBays outside. Pretty soon this whole show will be crazy eBay and Corey, too.
Well, if you don't read anything, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll get her. It's on my to-do list. Maybe I'll let Chris.
Brand new day. So.
Yeah, but it's an old day now. Who cares? Harry's a big old centipede now, so that didn't last too long, did it?
Well, they are hinting that that is the... that is the Harry Osborn that died. But the Harry Osborn that was alive is still around.
Oh, so he was a clone.
No.
Oh, he went to France and knocked up Gwen Stacy after 20 years.
No. The stuff that Mephisto did might be unraveling.
Good for the... Yeah, well, that'll teach that devil. He's got some payback.
Speaking of.
Does that mean we'll see Gene DeWolf back?
I doubt it.
Oh.
Speaking of, Nick Spencer, who's been on Spider-Man since the new number one, is leaving as of issue 74. Which is a little weird, but with all of the specials and miniseries and everything, it's close to 100 issues that he's done. And did you hear what will be happening with the new Spider-Man, starting with issue 75?
Well, I thought our good buddy Pat Gleason taking over.
He is one of the people taking over.
Ooh, so I'm halfway there.
What it is, starting with issue 75, there will be Amazing Spider-Man will be going to 3 times a week.
Ugh.
And they will have a creative crew working on it. It'll be more than one person. So let me get the list of people because I thought it was an interesting group. Kelly Thompson's one of them. Pat Gleason's another. And a lot of people who are Marvel fans were like, Pat Gleason, he's just an artist, right? No.
Do you...
75. So here we go. Here's the team.
Okay.
Zeb Wells. Zeb Wells is a name you may or may not know. He worked in comics for a while, then got hired on to do a lot of writing for Robot Chicken and other stuff at Stupid Buddy Studios. He's coming back to comics. Kelly Thompson, who has done a lot of comics, including Captain Marvel. Saladin Ahmed, who did that Black Bolt series that I absolutely loved, and then wrote Ms. Marvel and is currently writing Miles Morales. Cody Ziegler, who I think this is their first comic. I need to look them up.
That's not Zig Ziegler's brother, is it?
No. And it's also not Dolph Ziggler's brother, because Dolph Ziggler's brother.
Second question I was going to ask. Yeah,
he works in ECW. But he works on Rick and Morty. He's also writing the Disney She-Hulk series. Has done some work for Robot Chicken. And then Pat Gleason will be the fifth. And they are starting off, as they start off, Ben Reilly has taken over as Spider-Man.
Send in the clones. Oh, they're already there.
The whole point of working on Spider-Man has put, Spider-Man is trying to put new unliftable weights on top of him. Physical, metaphysical, emotional, psychological, and seeing if he can lift them. But what if that weight is truly too heavy? What if someone with the exact same skills and formative years could do it better? Ben Reilly is back with Aunt May and Uncle Ben's lesson in the back of his mind, and he's here to step in where Peter Parker has failed. Can he accomplish things the original Spider-Man never could? These questions are what sold me on the story. Zeb Wells put together the story, and then Nick Lowe brought in the other creators. Let's see. Zeb wrote, comic-wise, he wrote Spider-Man Doc Ock Year One, Hellions. Kelly Thompson has worked on Captain Marvel and Black Widow. And let's see. So there you go. Fans will be able to get their first glimpse of what's coming on Free Comic Book Day with the Spider-Man Venom. Because also Venom's going to be getting a new creative team, which they haven't announced yet, because Donny Cates wrapped up his run with King in Black. And I've been thinking a lot about the fact that it used to be that Spider-Man, you know, had the three books or four books, depending. And really kind of since the 2000s, they've really stuck with only having one Spider-Man book, maybe a secondary book for a while, but they never really last, and miniseries. But then when they have Brand New Day, and they started putting it out, you know, what? Back then they did it three times a month, too. And then when Dan Slott took over for the team, he was doing it twice a month. Nick Spencer's doing it twice a month, and now three times a month. If you were a retailer, would you have preferred having like three different Spider-Man books or four different Spider-Man books or having Amazing Spider-Man come out two or three times a month?
You know, I think I would prefer to have it all tied together. Just one title, because I often think back on the Superman thing, which was really weird because it was always a tied-in story, but for some reason, people did not like Superman Man of Steel. Did not like the art, did not like the creative team, and it never made sense to me because I'm like, but it's like skipping every third chapter,
yeah,
third chapter of a book. But you know, whatever, people did that. But if you, instead of having three different books tied together, go ahead. I mean, first of all, I think three is excessive, but you know, if you can get some excitement going right now, I'm kind of lukewarm on the idea, but, you know, I'll give it a shot. I've been reading Amazing Spider-Man since 1977, so I'll give it a shot. And then, you know, if you're going to let Peter Parker lapse for a while or take it easier, maybe he'll be part of it. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Go ahead and do some other miniseries that tie in or tie around or, you know. You've talked about how what the hell was the name of the coffee shop that Ben hung at?
Oh, I don't remember the name of it.
But he had his own supporting cast that just kind of disappeared, you know. Where's Flash Thompson? We haven't seen him in a while.
He was Venom.
Was, but ain't. So he was a Space Knight, but ain't. So again, but I'm talking like recently, you know, these characters just kind of, they shuffle away. And, you know, if they're not immediately, because the art of doing subplots is kind of gone now. You know, the way it used to be when we were reading would always be like, okay, you see everybody just in the subplot, and then Spider-Man does his main thing, and then it goes on to the next issue, and then we have a little subplot with the supporting characters, and then they disappear. Well, now, you know, if they're not part of the storyline, they just kind of go by the wayside, which is kind of cool. You know, they should do more with Flash, especially since he was Venom, and he was a Space Knight. He was his hero in his own right. I was thinking about this the other day when one of the Facebook pages, they were talking about Skrull the Slayer. I don't know if you remember that book, Corey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just calling it up via the...
it was eight issues. I've talked about it because in eight issues, it had four different writers.
Yeah. And I don't know, and maybe I can Google this while we talk.
That was.
But it was one of the things where it's like, yeah, it was eight different characters, and then it finished up in Marvel 2-in-1 35 and 36. And as far as I know, Sergeant Jim Scully has never been heard from again.
No, they've used him. They used him recently.
Okay, so they did bring him back. Because I always think there's, like, with characters, there's more they could do. How can someone go through something like that and, okay, now I'm just a normal schmo in the Marvel Universe? I think about it back when there was the run of Avengers in where they were off on an island somewhere in the Atlantic. I think Submariner hung out, Stingray hung out, whatever. But they had brought back a bunch of supporting characters. J. Jonah Jameson was one of them. Some of the characters from the Shogun miniseries based on the toy were there. Because those characters, again, their Shoguns were all destroyed in a Fantastic Four issue wrap-up, and they just kind of disappeared. Well, they've got skills. Bring them back. So I always thought it'd be kind of cool to see what, you know, a character like this to come back. I didn't follow the thread too long, but now I'm curious. I'm going to go Google that.
Let's see. Skull the Slayer, after he came back, remember he had that belt that gave him special powers. He found out he couldn't take it off. So Dr. Druid put together a team with him, Sepulchre, and Nikatu, the living mummy, called the Shock Troop. That didn't go anywhere. But then Mark Gruenwald, who uses everything, brought him back in Quasar and Captain America. Quasar. And the belt had changed his powers to where he was the new Blazing Skull.
There's a reference.
Then after that, he found his way back to the world that he had been trapped on with.
Well, he did serve as a bodyguard with Hawkeye. Don't forget that.
With, here's a character, does Joe remember, Lee Forrester.
Oh, Lee Forrester. Wasn't that, she was in X-Men. Wasn't she the blondie Cyclops was falling in love with?
Yep, she was the one that Cyclops fell in love with after Jean Grey died and then was written out of the book unceremoniously.
As soon as Madeline Pryde showed up. I do
just
remember.
Oh, she doesn't exist anymore. Oh.
Yeah. She was a cool character in X-Men 150, one of my favorite all-time books, even the way it was written. It was just kind of a fun one-and-done-in-one romp where X-Men kind of proved their worth to Magneto. So what happened next? You're saying Skull the Slayer found his way back to the alternate Earth he was in?
Yeah, and then they did an X-Men story in the 90s, which is why nobody remembers it. It made no sense at all. He found that...
X-Men Volume 3, Number 19.
Yeah.
16 through 19, he was kind of hanging around.
And they have left... They stay in that world. And if you go back, you read the first issue. Marv Wolfman said that back when he was a teenager, he had this idea of an entire apartment building being shifted into a prehistoric world. And Marvel was looking for new books, so he decided, no, I'll use that. And he left. Steve Englehart did an issue. And then I forget who did an issue after that. But Steve Englehart turned it into this alternate Earth. Wasn't just, you know, dinosaurs and other things that get dropped in from the Bermuda Triangle. It's part of this multidimensional prison thing. And then he left. Finally found out why Steve Englehart left Marvel, by the way. And Bill Mantlo took over and had to try and make sense of it all. Did I tell you that I finally found out why Steve Englehart left Marvel in 1976?
No.
Well, you know, he was writing four books. And then all of a sudden, he left Marvel, showed up at DC, did Batman and Justice League, and then left comics. The reason he was no longer at Marvel, when Gary Conway came back to Marvel from DC to become the editor-in-chief, in his contract, he was given four books. And he wanted the Avengers, the Defenders, Ms. Marvel, and Spider-Man. Well, Len Wein had enough clout that he was able to keep Spider-Man. So instead, they created Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, for Gary Conway. The Defenders, Steve Gerber, wrapped up his run, and Gary Conway took over. But on the Avengers, Steve Englehart had blown a massive deadline.
Uh-oh.
Issue 150 had to be a reprint. Do you remember that? Because I remember picking up Avengers 150 as, oh, they've been building this for 9 issues, and we've had to fill in, a 2-issue fill in, and now we're going to get the new Avengers team. And you read 3 pages, and then it's a reprint of Avengers number 16.
I did not read Avengers until like around 200.
Okay, so he missed the deadline, and Avengers 150. Was a reprint. So he was summarily removed from the book. He was so pissed about that, that he quit and stormed off over to DC. And then Gary Conway came back to DC like 2 months later, because he'd come into Marvel and it was such a mess. He was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. I'm going back to DC. But I did not know that, he had been fired from the Avengers, so he took his ball and left. Which doesn't surprise me in some ways. Because, man, you look at Steve Englehart's last year at Marvel, and, oh, there were so many reprints and fill-ins. Dude couldn't meet a deadline to save his life.
Hmm.
And you know who can meet a deadline, Joe?
Tell me.
Our friends over at NordVPN. Our newest sponsor is NordVPN. Let's be honest, if you're out on the internet, you need a VPN to protect you. There's all sorts of things going on the internet where people can track you. You could accidentally download a keylogger, all sorts of things. NordVPN gives the best security possible. It has a password manager, which generates complex passwords, syncs across all your devices, stores your notes and credit card information. It also gives you 10 gigabytes of private cloud storage, secure files that backs up your data automatically. But the main thing it gives you is peace of mind. It gives you peace of mind when you're out on the internet, when you're streaming, when you're playing games, when you're listening to podcasts like this one. It gives you safety anywhere at any time. It protects your online activity. You get full access to all content. And if you use the link go.nordvpn.net/SH3KU, it'll take you to where you can get a great deal for a 1-month plan, a two-year plan, a one-year plan. They are our newest sponsor. We're happy to have them. And if you would like to sponsor something here at any of the podcasts on the Solitaire Rose Network, you can. Just email me, solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks. And you know who can't meet a deadline?
Who else?
Me, I can't meet a deadline, but I have all these other podcasts. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is currently on a pause, basically because COVID-19 has made it so that I have to work a lot of extra hours at both jobs. But you can still go and listen to my other podcasts. Now, you're probably listening to Crazy Comics and Stories, which is the main podcast. But on this same feed, KRAYZCOMIX, is Solitaire Rose Radio, these solo radio podcasts that I do. I've done interviews, I've done short stories, I've done all sorts of things, and you can get to it right here on this same feed. I also do a podcast called Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's over at novels.solitairerose.com. Dangerous Dan Moore and I, and of course Wolfie B. Bad, give you bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. You send in your questions, and we give you the aforementioned bad advice. And then myself and Adam Vermillion from For the Love of Comics do the Fantastic Forecast at fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com, where we go through the issues of the Fantastic Four, four issues at a time, to give the plot and commentary on each issue. That's not all. Yes, I'm crazy. I still, over at PWInsiderElite.com, every week on Wednesday, do a recap of the latest episode of AEW Dynamite. I write up what happened, and then myself and Anthony Pyrus will do an audio. Now, you can only listen to the audio if you're a member at PWInsiderElite.com, and if you're a wrestling fan, you should be, where we then break down the episode, talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, give it a grade, and let you know if you should have watched that episode. Those are the other podcasts here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network. Thanks. By the way, the Solitaire Rose, what is it? What do I call where I do the DVD type talking about comics? Let me pull that up here. KRAYZCOMIX.
Excuse me while he whips us out.
Oh, we got a movie coming this fall, Joe.
We do.
From Marvel.
Oh.
Called The Eternals.
Ah.
And Jack Kirby created that, did 19 issues and an annual.
Which, from what I hear, is largely unreadable based on people who have never read it before and are trying to, even as we pot.
Well, if you wait a few weeks, you will get the first of a four-part series where Solitaire Rose Series in Review is coming back, and I will break down issue by issue the Eternals. So cool. If you picked up the trade paperback, or you're looking to dig up your old comics, or you bought the 2.5-foot tall reprint of the Eternals, or you bought the Eternals omnibus, we got you a guide that you can listen to while you're reading it, as if you're watching the director's commentary on a DVD. That's starting in a few weeks. Some of the other podcasts are going to be coming back too, and we'll get to that when we get to Geekin', but right now that's not what we're talking about.
No, we're here to talk about the draft.
We're here to talk about Joe's favorite subject. No, no, no. Not downloading pictures of Sybil Danning dripping with sweat after an 80s workout.
Yep, beating up the bad guys.
No, it's Joe. What's going on the eBays?
All sorts of fun stuff. As I mentioned before, since my it was sweaty and hot outside, I didn't work on my graphic novels. Although I basically took a short box of graphic novels that I had deemed that I am not keeping in my collection, and I done did put them on eBay. One of them sold surprisingly fast. X-Men Deadly Genesis. Excuse me, while I crack to Atomic Avenue.
And, I can already tell you what that story is. That is the miniseries that was the anniversary of the new X-Men, where we find out about the third Summers brother, Vulcan. Now we know there are four Summers brothers.
Yeah, because there's Tommy. What was the other guy who played the bass? I forget.
There was George, Paul, Ringo. No.
Adam John, X. Paul, Mark, and Luke. Oh, what?
In that new X-Men Legends series, we finally found out that Adam X was the fourth Summers brother. So there are four of them now.
Mickey, Davey, Peter, and Mike. No, I don't. Because apparently four is the optimum number. Boy, that dad was busy. It's amazing. He is in outer space because he forgot. Oh, yeah, I had a bunch of kids. And I only remembered one of them. Anyways, it sold right away. Just trying to see who done did it. Ed Brubaker, art by Trevor Hairsign and Peter Woods. Let's see. I sold a copy of Ghost Stories. I might have talked about this book before. This was a Dell book. Started in 62, ended in 73, kind of a horror anthology. Not strictly a collection of ghost stories, but one dealing with the super generals. Supernaturals. And, near mint is hard to find. I had one in a very good shape that somebody contacted me and said, hey, would you go a little cheaper? And I said, why, sure. I love doing that. Just moving the books. Speaking of variant covers, I sold one from a book called Rags, published by Antarctic from 2018 to 2020. I haven't read it yet, which is why I haven't talked more about it, but I had various variant covers. Apparently, I accidentally picked up a variant cover because when I got home, I discovered, why is this comic book $20? Oh, it happened to be a variant cover, and it was sold for $20 as it was helping one of my local comic book shops. I didn't return it, but eventually when I did get a regular version of number six there, I decided I'll just sell off the variant version because, I don't need multiple ones. I've got one other thing I'll talk about comic-wise. Corey, did you ever read Superbia from Boom?
No.
It was two series, Grace Randolph, Russell, Dantemann. I'll read it right off Atomic Avenue. Meet the Meta Legion, the world's foremost faction of crime-fighting capes. But what happens when the masks come off and the heroes are faced with the sword problems of everyday life in the suburbs? Grace was from Marvel's Nation X and Heroes, and Russell was on the first run of Superbia, kind of a unique twist on the superhero genre. I would pick up the books if you can find them. I don't recall. I mean, I did read it, but I think I tapped out at about issue. Where did I go? I stopped at issue 8. It went to 5. It went to 12. So obviously it didn't quite make my list of keepers, but I did sell that. Speaking of oddball things to sell, and I'm not talking about Mars Attacks, Red Sonja, number 3, FOC, Grayscale Virgin variant cover, or the Delia Torres, number 5, volume 3, FOC, Sketch Virgin art variant cover, which I sold. I sold a Raiden RX 7500 XT Mech OC 8 megabyte GDDR6 graphic card. No box pre-owned. My daughter's boyfriend had one, and we got together and we were like, we wanted me to sell it. We debated. We looked it up and I said, why don't I just put it up at $750? And I had two offers while I was putting stuff on eBay, but somebody bought it at a straight $750. So if you got yourself one of these dem cards and you don't use it, put it on the eBays. What other fun stuff will I put on the eBays? Well, it's all there. KRAYZ. It's only one thing left to say. Come get some.
And now we get to my favorite part of the show.
Ho-hos.
No, 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 not where I talk about how I got a free toothbrush and free dental floss.
Did you get to pick one out of the toys too?
No.
Oh, darn.
I like. But they, I told them what I use for my flossing. You know, I've got the little the reach stick, which is now with Listerine, where you've got the stick and you just snap the floss into it. They had they had refills for that, so they gave me that.
Cool.
So I can cancel my Amazon order where I get a new one every 6 months. No, 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 it's Freaking and Geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
You would think I had a lot of things to freak on, but most I've already talked about. You know, the house is still in disarray, but, you know, it's kind of like a construction zone. You know, eventually when the construction's done, oh, yeah, they did a good job. So I'm just waiting for that to get done. Other than that, nothing really freaking on that's worth re-mentioning. Just go back and replay the last 2 weeks of freaking, because that's pretty much what I'm still freaking on. Corey, how about you? What are you freaking on?
Freaking on the fact that we haven't been able to do reviews for a month now.
Well, I'll keep going. It'll probably be another month.
I may have to do a Solitaire Rose episode to get all
these
reviews
done. I'm trying to inspire you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Other than that, I'm really not freaking on a whole lot. I will tell a work story, though.
Okay. Fair is fair. I told a big work story.
So last week at the office job, now I have been doing some reports where every week we get reports and I have to go through them and listen to the calls and see if the person who said, I am dissatisfied, if that was warranted or not. And most of the time it's not. Like, the wait was too long to get to a representative. And then I look and it's like, you went directly to a representative. You didn't wait at all. Or the representative doesn't know what they're talking about. And you listen to the call and no, the representative knew what they were talking about. You just were unhappy with the answer. But sometimes, you know, you would listen to the call and the person on the phone, you know, the representative would be a little snappy, or, you know, they didn't know and had to put the person on hold 8 or 9 times. So that was one of my reports. And I was doing that on 2 different clients. And then last week, I had 2 meetings where, well, Corey, we're going to transition this report over to this new person who needs some experience doing the report. Cool. And then on the other client, oh, we're transitioning the report over to these people. And by about Wednesday, I realized, hey, I'm not doing any reports anymore. And then I noticed, all of a sudden, I was having a meeting. I get done with work at 5. I was having a meeting at 4 o'clock that would be a half hour long on Friday afternoon. Now, I also know that the company was going to be bought by another company, but the federal government stepped in and said, no, 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 we're not happy about this. You're going to need to convince us that that's okay. And they are moving people around team to team to team. And I was thinking, it's musical chairs and the music has stopped playing and all my reports have gone to other people. And they want to meet with me at the end of the day on Friday.
Uh-oh. Dun, dun, dun.
So I have generalized anxiety disorder. So, of course, what most people think, you know, get anxious about it, like on a 1 to 10 scale at about a 3, I go to about an 11. Plus, I'm not saying this to brag because this does not help me. I have a rather high IQ, which means I make connections between things and I can figure out puzzles easier and faster than other people because I can see connections. You know, Joe, you took the SAT where it's, you know, this is to this as this is to blank. That's an IQ test. Basically, they're wanting to see if you understand connections and stuff. I score very well on those. That does not mean that I do not do stupid things, and Joe can tell you stories of stupid things I've done.
Yes, that'll be a podcast debuting in about 3 years from now.
Stephanie wants me to do a podcast about my dating stories because they are all stories of stupid things I've done. But
yes,
combine the fact that I put pieces together and that meeting and everything. So Friday, the whole day, it was like, okay, if I'm let go, let's make sure my my resume is updated. I know to use this website and this website and this website. And here are the people I know who work at places that have jobs available. And boom, 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 boom. Oh, and here's the job networking thing that I used to go to. Oh, good. That still exists. So the whole day. And I could take extra shifts at the group home so that I don't have to worry too much about money. I have all this money set aside for an emergency and et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, we get to the meeting. And it's very much, you know, you had this call where this person got really mad at you, and they sent an email to the client, and the client wanted us to listen to the call. We listened to the call, and yes, you were kind of snippy with her in the last half of the call because she refused to authenticate. We with HIPAA protected information, so I asked the person, you know, can you give me your name and your home zip code? Well, I put all my information in. Didn't you get that? Yes, but they still ask us to do that. Well, I don't feel it's right that I should have to give you this information. And, you know, back and forth and back and forth till finally they say, look, if you don't give me your zip code, I can't give you any information at all, and I have to end the call. I don't think it's fair that you have to ask me for more information, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And are you going to let me, are you going to answer my question? Sorry, cannot answer your question because you're refusing to authenticate. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Well, she wrote a letter to the client saying that I was the rudest person in the history of mankind. And of course, she called back a half hour later, gave all the information to the next person because she'd learned I'm not going to get through without giving the information. So they basically were like, okay, what are other ways you could have handled it? Blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the thing, I said, okay, I need to ask. You've pulled all my other assignments away. You had this meeting at the end of the day on Friday. Were you trying to make me lose my mind? And they were like, no, no, no. We're going to be giving you more assignments, but right now, we have so many new clients that we're reshuffling everything. So we're getting it to new people till we figure out where we're going to put the most seasoned people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So my whole Friday, I was freaking out. Thankfully, the last half hour of the day, I was able to just go, oh, thank God, that's over. And I then collapsed on the couch and watched movies and ate pizza. Joe, what are you geeking on?
Pizza. I went to a toy show on Sunday.
Which I was saw fun. That, and they had comics.
They did. That was kind of my downfall. What was fun about going to this show was that I didn't really have anything I was looking for, which makes it fun because then you can wander through and you can just kind of enjoy, just enjoy it for what you're looking at. And I did buy a couple things. I bought a fire truck, which I have one already in my collection, a matchbox size, really long one. But the hitch got broken. So it's like when you pull the cab forward, the trailer falls off. And I'm like, well, he took $2 for it. I picked up a Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine diecast, which after looking at it, I realized I have anymore. So guess where it's going?
Probably to the art auction.
Yay. Well, no, not really on eBay. I'll just throw it in the pile for the charity booth coming up.
Oh.
And I thought I was doing pretty good. I found one guy had a box of comics for $3 a piece. I picked out some oddball ones that I'd never seen before. And one I had seen before, one of the Cartoon Network Presents that had Space Ghost on it. And then I found one guy, he had a big run of comics, but he's, I think, Corey, you know, just from the years of digging through boxes, when you hit a guy and you can tell, okay, he's got them priced what they're, you know, going for. Doesn't have any deal going on. He might cut a deal or something, but, you know, generally when I'm looking through tons and tons of baggage, I'm looking for a deal. You know, I either want it for myself or I just want it for cheap reads, or I'll just turn around and flip it on the eBays. So I looked through all his stuff just in case, and I didn't really find anything that. And then right before I was leaving, I found one guy had a box of stuff, and I went through it, and it looked familiar because I've seen this. My guess is he bought it from one of the con guys that goes to the MCBF shows because it was very similar format. You know, the price was on the back. I went through one box and I picked up a handful, and then I went over to another box, and as I went there, he goes, oh, by the way, all the books are a buck. And I go, really? No matter what their price? Yeah. Fine. And I went insane. I went back, and I just picked up stuff. It's like I have almost a complete run of Empty Zone that was published by Cirrus. Never read it. Thought I'd give it a try. Picked up some of those Fantico Chronicles. They used to have the I don't even know if I have them. Let's see. Vignettes from Valentino. Image. Jim Valentino.
I wish you would do more of those. I wish you would do more autobiographical comics. Because he's not really doing any comics anymore.
Not really. Let's see. I got a graphic novel from Boldface Comics. Elvis Must Die. A bunch of E-Man. A few Black and Whites. Wizard of Time. Something I never bought when they first came out. Wednesday Comics from DC.
Oh, yeah.
They had one and two. I know they have a huge oversize that you can get if you want. So I thought I'd give it a try. One comic that had a CD with it, and I thought, okay, that's cool. Just a bunch of things I'd never read before. Some of this will go on the eBays. I actually picked up a copy of Following Cerebus. I think it was number 5 that had him talking to Eisner and Gaiman about doing graphic novels. And then I'm like, I have it already. So I put it on eBay. It was just fun. It was fun. I saw a lot of people I hadn't seen before or people I haven't seen since. Again, Paul from Heroic Games and Comics, he said he saw me in conversation, probably talking with Mark Myrtle. He actually thanked us for giving him a shout out because he had that comic sale the following or previous weekend. And I said, yeah, anytime you got the show, come and give us a yell. We'll put it out. Let's see. Somewhere online, and if you excuse me, I will try to find the correct page. Wesley Uhr, I think that's how you say his name, from he's been an actor for years, but if you ever watched Land of the Lost, you know him as Wesley.
Where he was trying to be a teen idol, which is why the third season they had him singing every so often.
Yeah. Ooh. And he played Will, of course. Oh, we're raw. And I'm trying to let's see if I can find it, because he had a thing where he talked with, oh shoot, I just missed it. It just disappeared. There it is. He interviewed Sid Croft of Sid and Marty Croft. And before he went on, he actually had people ask questions as to whether or not, just anything you wanted to ask him. And so if you go to Instagram, you can either go to Wesley's Facebook page, Wesley Uhr, E-U-R-E, and he has a post as part of his Instagram. And I'm not even sure I can give you the Instagram post. I can't find it. I go to it. It goes to Sid Croft's Instagram. But if you go to his Facebook page, Wesley's, that is, you can see they've got it all up. It's archived. It's Instagrammed. It's Facebook dies, so you can view it. And I'm really, really looking forward to doing that. Just kind of fun because a lot of those shows. I mean, that was my question. It's like, did you ever think 40 plus years later, we're still talking about these crazy shows you guys did? Did you ever read Empire Lanes, Corey?
Yes, I loved Empire Lanes.
Okay. I actually found some cheap copies of that. I was going to forward them to you. But if not, I'll give them out to our good listeners out there if you want to try. It's Peter Gross's book where a bunch of D&D type characters come through and end up in a bowling alley. Which is kind of, it was fun. It's a bunch of miniseries, and I don't know if he'll ever come back to it because he's gone on to bigger and better things, but it's creator owned, so if he wants to, he can. Did I ever tell you, Corey, about my quest for the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive ROM Space Knight figure?
I know you have talked about it before.
Yep, I finally have it, but not the way you would think. The figure itself is about the size of like the Star Wars 4-inch, 5-inch figures. And it was an exclusive given away as part of the IDW Hasbro Revolution line. We talked about that in the past, and I don't think we were impressed with it. And judging by the way it sold, no one else was impressed with it. But essentially, it was a crossover, an attempt to make a universe out of all of Hasbro's line. Transformers, Visionaries, G.I. Joe, ROM Space Knight, Micronauts, and Mask, and Action Man. And of that, they had a small ROM figure. They also had a Dire Wraith figure, but I just want the ROM figure because it looks cool. And every time I tried for it, when it first came out, they were $29. Then they were $50. Then they were $100 and $120. And they finally had topped at $150. And I was like, you know, I sent the guy who had it at $150, and I said, you know, you pop it up $20 every time you sell it. You know, I understand why. I've been trying to get it since $120. Could you go any cheaper? Never answered me back. Well, guess what? Somebody had this box called Revolution, which apparently was something available, which has the aforementioned characters. It's, let's see, Jetfire from the Transformers, Leoric from Visionaries, Matt Tracker from Mask, Action Man from, guess what, Action Man, Roadblock from G.I. Joe, tons of Micronauts. Let's see who I recognize. Baron Carr's Biotron, Betatron, bunch of other guys I'm not familiar with. And, of course, the aforementioned Dire Wraith from ROM and ROM Space Knight himself. Now, I did what I normally advocate. I decided to watch this because he was asking $250 for it. And I thought, that's a lot for what I want. But then he said, you could have it for $187. And I was like, well, that beats one figure for $170. Plus, I'll have all the figures I want. I had no freaking clue. This box stands a whopping 2 feet tall, is approximately a foot and a half wide, and came in a box half the size of my sofa upstairs, which was a testament to the guy I bought it from, because he shipped it to me in a fantastic manner. And if you, again, pardon me for half a second, I'm just going to give him a shout out. Because if you're looking for stuff, he is, oh man, I'm going to, Villalta 2014. That's Alta 2014. And he's got tons of stuff. He's got, you know, weird feedback here and there. But I had nothing but excellent things to say for him, because he shipped something so incredibly huge in a great package. And now I got to decide, do I want to open this sumbitch and get my ROM figure out? Because the best thing is I can put it back together and you'll never even know. So I was pretty impressed, pretty happy with that. So now I have my ROM figure. In addition to the toy fair, I got my, when I talked about the toy show, I got a Electra Woman figure. If you remember Electra Woman and Diana Girl, tie back, yes, to Croft again. I was just going through and there was a loose one for $2 and I go, oh, that's too cool not to have. So it was fun. Like I said,
Dyna Girl.
They never made a Dyna Girl. That was kind of the bummer. But the toy show was fun. Getting this thing in the mail was fun. And even today, I got my latest thing from Coffin Comics. As you know, Coffin Comics does everything via Kickstarter, and they not only mail out, because they do so well, they mail out tons of, what do you call them? Oh, what's the extra stuff on Kickstarter?
I don't know.
I'm having a break. Well, you know, it's like they give you extra bonuses, you know, because they make different goals. At least the fun Kickstarters do. So I thought, just for the heck of it, I would open this on the air. Since I don't recall what it was that I ordered. Are you ready?
Sure.
I ripped the cardboard box open, taped incredibly well. Oops, that didn't work. Let's see. Of course, I have no idea where my scissors is down here. Excuse me a second while I, way over here, I have myself
an old set of steak knives that we got for our wedding. Why are they down here? Well, it's not because I eat my steak down here. It's because we have a new set of steak knives. And these are kind of dull, but they do work good for opening up packages.
There we go. I'm back. All right. Let's see. Open this bad boy up. And what did I get? Dun, dun, dun. Oh, sweet bejesus. I got a Lady Death Cataclysmic Majestic Mystery Envelope Sealed. Limited to 1,199 envelopes. And this inside here could be original art. It could be one of, remember that metallic edition I talked about a while back? It could be an original edition, a jeweled edition. Do you dare break the seal?
Dare.
I'm going to have to think about this, folks. Maybe we'll do it next podcast.
Wow. Oh.
That made my freaking day, Corey. I am geeked beyond belief. Corey, your turn. What are you geeking on?
I had most of the weekend off. The coming 4th of July weekend, I have what they call a partial sleep shift, which is basically I will be in a group home where I need to be awake if the clients wake up, because we have one client who will wake up in the middle of the night and wander the house. But other than that, I have Saturday off, Sunday off, and Monday off. I have 3 days off. And it's Box Day this weekend.
Oh, I should look at my email. I don't know if I'm getting Box Day yet.
Why do you care? You're not going to be able to read anything anyway.
Just the thought of getting boxes.
So there's all that. Plus, I did some comic reading. Chip Zdarsky has a series at Image that I picked up the first trade paperback for, and that is called Stillwater. And it's a miniseries. Well, it's a series about a guy who has to leave a showing of WrestleMania and drive. No. It's a series where a guy gets fired from his job, gets a letter from a distant relative he does not know, saying you need to show up here because your great aunt has left you a lot of money. And when he gets there, the town is not what it seems. I did not have, nobody told me anything other than that when I picked it up. And the twist at the first and second issues both blew me away. And the first six issues, pretty amazing stuff. Highly recommended. Another of Image's books where it's, okay, I can see where they're going with this. It's one of those long-form limited series because, you know, it's not something that will last 200 issues. It will have a definite ending. But the guy writing it, Chip Zdarsky, says, I don't know how long it will last. I know that it won't last forever. But I'm kind of making it up as I go. I have things that I'm going to do that I know, but I'm noticing that ideas are popping up that I just want to shove in the book. So it really, really good. Another Image book that I finally was able to read a couple trade paperbacks of was Ice Cream Man. And for the longest time, I was like, what the hell is this thing? What it is, it's an anthology horror series. And the titular Ice Cream Man has some sort of odd past that we don't know about that may or may not be connected to him being a demon or an angel or neither. Each issue is kind of self-contained. There are story elements that will pop up in issue to issue, but in a lot of ways, it's just an anthology horror series, and I really enjoyed it. I see that the sales are going up on it, so people are figuring it out, but I think one of the things that really hurt it when it started was because it's called Ice Cream Man.
Are you reading it as graphic novels, or did you read it as comics?
I'm reading it as graphic novels.
Yeah, because that I sold my run. Number one's like a $300 book.
Yeah.
So if you got it, keep it in good shape, folks. And I know we talked about it on our podcast before it hit. So listen to us. please.
Pay attention. Speaking of paying attention.
Oh, what do
the,
I
owe remember how I talked about the Skybound 5-issue series that I'm picking up as regular comics?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everybody working in the industry is saying that this thing is way under-ordered.
What was it again?
The Skybound 5-issue series.
Oh, wow.
It's a weekly series. The first issue, the initial orders were only 86,000. And then they said, did you read the solicitation where we said the character Clementine from The Walking Dead games, this is her first comic appearance. And there will be first appearances in all five books. It will not be reissued as a trade paperback. Pick them up as individual issues because they're not going to be reprinted. These books are going to be hot, and I pre-ordered them.
Good man.
I may actually flip these books. I don't normally flip books, but if this is as hot as they say it is, I may flip these books, especially when I don't know if it's just on Facebook or if there's really something, the back issue market seems to be surging.
I think it's a little of both. You know, plus, like you said, friendly neighborhood comic stores. Think of the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of titles of comics from the very beginning to now. There is no way on God's green earth, unless you have a warehouse, Mile High Comics, I'm looking your way, that you could carry all these. Online is almost the way it's got to go because, like I said, for all these weird random issues I've talked about, like what was the one we talked about at the beginning of where the hell did I put it? Hey, dear, you got a Black Fury number 14, the Shift Shoes Presents edition? What? How the hell did I even find this in a back issue bin? So, yeah, I think it's legit. You said it 1990s when I had Hot Comics. The comics in the 1990s, later half, you know, after the comic crash, that was about 94, 95, are going to be real tough to find. And I think that's not only is that bearing it out, but even to this day, like what you were just talking about with The Walking Dead, people just ain't ordering it. Well, so many comics that we've talked about in our preview show exploded. Last Ronin, Ice Cream Man, something is I can't remember the one from something is doing the children, whatever.
Something is killing the children.
Killing the children. Thank you. You know, these are just titles that catch our attention. Could you imagine all the things that aren't catching our attention? And you know, we're not, I don't know, Corey, are you a big back issue buyer? I mean, would you go hunt down an expensive back issue or would you just like, wait till I can read it online or pick up the trade?
I either pick up the trade or read it in DC Universe or Marvel Unlimited or, you know, Image is really good about keeping most of their trades in print. I have always said, there are no rare comic stories. There may be some rare comics, but it is increasingly rare that you can't buy a comic. Matter of fact, Joe, how would you like to buy Amazing Spider-Man 129?
I was just freaking of the fact that Dazzler number one is 40 years old.
Yeah, that makes you feel old, doesn't it?
It does. But yeah, well, I mean, if I want a 129, it's actually kind of, if the book is hot, it's almost easier to find. If it's obscure, again, we were talking about Empire Lanes. You'd be hard pressed to jump into a store and ask someone, hey, could you get me copies, a run of Peter Gross's Empire Lanes? You might have a better chance of contacting him. Or how about like this one, The Wizard of Time, from David House. I picked up a number one just because it was cheap, and then I look online. I think there's like four or six issues. You know, if I like number one, I'll pick them up. So it's kind of a, and there's also my brain's just fizzling, but you know, the more obscure it is, the harder it's going to find, but the hotter it is, And there is a people buying them as investments. They want that 9.8. They want that 9.9. So it could be a perfect storm. Will it continue?
But I went out to Marvel.com. You put in Amazing Spider-Man 129. You could buy that digital issue right now, today, $1.99. Let's say you want Iron Man number 5. You can buy it right there, Marvel's website, $1.99, buy digital issue. And that's if you don't want to just read it in Marvel Unlimited. They've got anything that has been digitally scanned is available at Marvel.com. Anything. Going back to All Winners Squad. Going back to Marvel Comics number 1. It's all out there on the website. So if you want the actual story, it's not rare. If you want the physical comic, that in some cases can be rare. I think for some people, it's really weird in that back issues. The back issues that are the key issues that we always talk about, they're always going to be expensive. They're always going to accumulate in value. I think as people hit that 25-year mark, and I know it makes people feel old, but guess what? The late 90s, starting to hit that 25-year mark, where Spider-Man went from selling 750,000 copies a month to less than 75,000 copies a month. Those issues where Spider-Man wasn't selling real well. Amazing Spider-Man, I would say 410 to 426. Those are ones that are going to be worth a lot. Avengers, leading up to the Heroes Reborn. Not a lot of people were buying them. That's why they moved them over to why they put together that contract with Image. Just, hey, these books aren't selling. What can you do, man? What can you do? I think people are going to start discovering, hey, when I go through, boy, I find a lot of books from like 1990 to 1995. But after 95, by the time you get midway through 96, I'm not finding stuff. Because the shops had cut everything to the bone. People weren't buying multiple copies. All of the people who were going to dump their collections had already quit reading. I say the early 2000s stuff is probably going to be worth a lot more in the years to come.
And like we've talked in ad nauseum in the past, the promotional items. If I could give, what's the old Facebook meme? Okay, three words to tell yourself in the past: don't sell anything. Not that I'm paying attention to it now, but
no. So I'm going to take a look at Spider-Man before we close up here.
Cool.
Issue 0 to issue 441. I am out on My Comic Shop, which is Buddy Sanders's website, which I'm not a big fan of Buddy Sanders, but his website, they do a pretty good job talking about pricing. So here you go. Spider-Man 401 near mint, $10. I'm sorry. That's very fine. Very fine. It's, and these are not slab. These are raw, as they call it. Very fine copy, $10. Let's go further down till we get, let's see here. Spider-Man 413 again. $10 for a very fine copy. Amazing Spider-Man 415. $10 for a very fine copy. Let's see. I wonder if the last issue is worth more. I'm going to go take a look.
Sometimes it is. It's amazing.
Yeah. All of these are worth either 8 or $10. Going down. 441. They only have it in fine, and they're selling it for $7. So, is that red hot? No. Is it quarter bin stuff? No. Are people, and, you know, if My Comic Shop, which is Buddy Sanders, who's, I would say, second only to Mile High for the number of books he has, if he has no mint copies at all, if he has no very fine copies at all, if he has no near mint copies at all, that means that the book is getting a little hard to find. And then I have the Spider-Gwen Omnibus.
Ooh.
That showed up in my last box. Right now, I'm having trouble reading print comics. My first eye surgery is at the end of July. The second one is the week after. They say that after that, it should be just as good as it was after the cataract surgery. And there should never be any more scarring. So let's hope. But looking forward to when I get that done. I may even take a week off work just to read comics, because I haven't been able to read the physical comics themselves, except for the great big, the 2 foot tall ones.
Need a few more of those.
Yeah, Marvel, start putting out omnibuses of those.
2 foot size.
Believe it or not, kids, we had nothing to talk about. We've talked about comics for an hour and a half. Making podcasts out of nothing at all.
Oh, always something to talk about.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
It's okay to be white. It's okay to be black. It's okay to be straight. It's okay to be gay. It's okay to be you. But it is never, and I mean ever, okay to stop at a yellow light when we both could have made it, bitch. Corey, hit my music.
Done, bitches!